弟兄姊妹们平安。
Peace, brothers and sisters.
那我先把我预备的准备一下啊。
Let me prepare. Just let me bring up what I just prepared.
那我们开始之前还是有个祷告。
Let's pray again before we start.
主耶稣，我们再次把感谢、把赞美都归给你。
Lord, we give you thanks and praise again.
谢谢你一次又一次在伯饼聚会当中向我们显现。
We thank you for time and time again appearing to us during our communion.
你自己的爱充满在我们当中。
And your love fill us up.
你也借着饼和杯向我们说话。
And you speak to us through your table.
我们感谢主，我们也知道在信息聚会当中，你还是那位说话的主。
We thank you, Lord. We know that in message time, you are the Lord who speaks.
你的儿女就一同等候在你的脚前。
So your children wait before your feet.
求圣灵帮助讲的，让他能够讲得清楚。
May the Holy Spirit help the speaker to speak clearly.
也求圣灵帮助听的能够听得明白。
And may the Spirit help the hearers that they may hear clearly.
让我们能够一同在你的脚前受教。
To let us be taught before your feet.
我们再次把感谢赞美都归给你。
We again give you thanks and praise.
这样的祷告是奉耶稣基督的名。
We ask in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. 好，那像弟兄刚刚所说的哈，我们继续今年的主题，尊主为大。
So as our brother shared earlier, we'll continue our topic, this year of magnifying the Lord.
那我今天的题目是遵行神的话。
So my topic today is obeying the Lord's words.
那我想。其实这一系列主题，每个主题都非常的重要。
Of course, this series that we study, every topic is important.
那我不知道大家还记得我们过去都讲了什么。
I don't know if you remember our previous topics and our focuses.
说我们快快的来复习一下。
So let's review real quick.
Okay. 那我们一共是年初的时候，我们一共预备了十个题目。
So in the beginning of the year, we prepared 10 topics.
那我们今天是要讲第八个。
We are on our eighth one.
那前面第一讲讲到爱子是那不能看见之神的像。
We started firstly with the Son being the image of the unseen God.
第二讲我们一起交通了我心应该尊主为大。
Second, my heart magnifies the Lord.
那第三讲我们讲到要以认识基督为至宝。
Third one was knowing Christ as the greatest treasure.
那第四讲和第五讲我们讲到一起我们要奉献我们心意要被神更新而变化
Next up was our act of dedication and offerings
那我们接着讲了说你爱我比这些更深吗
And then we did Do you love me more than these
那上一次是 Patrick 弟兄帮我们一同交通的说只知道基督并他钉十字架
Last time our brother Patrick shared Only Christ and him crucified
那我今天要继续交通遵行主的话
So our sharing today is obeying the Lord's words.
我想这一系列题目开始讲的时候，我们的弟兄就说过一句话，不知道大家还记不记得
？I think when we started these topics, our brother shared one a phrase, has shared something with us. I don't know if you remember.
那这些题目其实道理上都不难懂啊，相或者说都相对不需要过多的解释，大家就能够明白。
He said all these things are easy to understand. It doesn't need too much explanation.
但是当我们真正实行真正按着这个每个主题去做的时候就发现说非常非常的难
But when we try to put it into practice we found out that it's much easier said than done
就像我们常说的叫知易行难
That's easier said than done
那今天这个题目遵行主的话在这一点上就更加的突出
Now this topic today is even more like that
其实为了我们能够遵行主的话神做了很多很多的工作
For the sake of us being able to obey God, He has done many works.
为了人能够明白神的话，能够遵行神的话，其实，在教会的历史当中，如果我们细看的话，神做了很多很多恢复的工作。
For the sake of people obeying His words, God has done many, many hard labor.
可以说，这个工作从500年前，从16世纪就开始。
This work has begun as far back as maybe the 16th century.
神一点一点将他话语的亮光恢复过来。
God restored slowly the light of His own words.
一点一点将教会从黑暗当中带出来。
To take His church out of darkness and into the light gradually.
那很早以前呢，咱们教会有个特会。
A long time ago, we had a special meeting in our church.
那讲到 教会的历史，讲到神恢复的工作。
We talked about the church history and the work of restoration.
那也讲到在不同的世纪，神都做了哪些恢复的工作。
And also in different generations, how God has used His people to do what He wanted to do.
那为了今天的信息，我又特别整理了一下。
So for today's message, I consolidated them a little bit.
那可能不是很完全，但是我要讲说要达到我要预备这个目的。
Definitely not comprehensive, but it achieves a purpose.
希望只是给大家一个参考。
Just as a reference information.
就像我刚刚讲的，从十六世纪开始，从宗教改革开始，神就开始做恢复的工作。
Like I said, right, with the religious reformation in the 16th century, God started His work.
那当时的代表人物是马丁路德和加尔文。
The representatives of that era was Calvin and Martin Luther.
那他们所恢复的重点，大家都知道，叫因信称义，恢复圣经的权威，让有更多的弟兄姊妹能够有机会来读圣经。
We are familiar with their goals, which was justification by faith and scriptures only, and faith in God.
那神借着这次恢复的工作，可以讲说从把得救的根基重新坚固起来。
That restorative work was meant to make clear how salvation works.
那到了十七世纪，神是借着清教徒的运动，在内在的生命，在圣洁的生活当中开始做恢复的工作。
In the 17th century, God used the Puritans to start the work of inner life.
个人的层面，人能够活一个敬虔的信仰的生活。
That before God, people can live a gentle and righteous life.
那到了十八世纪，神又借着另外一批人，借着约翰·卫斯理，借着第一次的大觉醒，做个人在悔改，在这个重生的上面做恢复的工作。
In the 18th century, John Wesley led like a revival, the holiness movement, and restoration of repentance.
不仅恢复了个人的重生、悔改、得救，也恢复了团体的复兴。
Not only that, he also restored corporate spiritual worship and revival.
那到了十九世纪，借着弟兄运动，借着达比弟兄他们开始废除这个宗派，能够强调教会的合一。
So in the 19th century, a guy named Darby, he started the Plymouth Brothers movement, and he kind of delineated the different denominations that the people of God can be united.
神要在教会当中做恢复他的见证。
And God wanted to restore the testimony of the church.
那到了二十世纪哈，接着我们今天也能够比较熟悉的，像施柏克弟兄啊，偷着这个陶树弟兄和尼特生弟兄，恢复基督内在生命的丰富，要走十架生命的道路。
20th century, there's more restoration done by God through the likes of Austin Sparks, A.W. Tozer, and Watchman Nee, to emphasize walking the path of the cross in the believer's life.
那就是神在过去五百年所做恢复的工作。
That is some of the highlights of God's work in the last 500 years.
那当我们看见每个世纪神恢复的工作的时候，我们可能很自然会有一个问题啊。
We may have a natural question as we look at the transition in the last 500 years.
现在这个世纪，二十一世纪，神要在我们当中做什么？
21st century, what is the work that God needs to do here?
我记得在那次特会里面，这是我问当时的讲员一个问题啊。
I remember in that special conference, I asked the speaker that question.
那讲员想一想，他的回答是说，其实到了现在这个时代，神所有真理的亮光已经恢复的差不多了。
He said that at this point, the truth of God's words have been restored, pretty much, for the most part, restored.
神今天也好像不再做像以往的这种大复兴的工作。
God doesn't seem to do this highly visible revival anymore.
那讲员的回答说，对于现在这个世纪，对于今天的教会，对于今天的弟兄姊妹，我们所需要的这个所面临的挑战或者托付，就是要遵行他的话。
He also said that for today's church, today's brothers and sisters, the challenge is to obey God's word.
要行在他话语的亮光当中。
To obey him in light of his words.
我想这是为什么我们在列这一系列主题的时候，有一讲特别讲到说要遵行神的话。
I think that's why the special topic some time ago was that very topic.
这是我们个人也好，我们团体教会也好，所面临的最大的挑战。
This is the greatest challenge for us as individual believers as well as a church together.
那不仅神在历史当中做了这样的事情。
But not only did God do this kind of work in history?
就是耶稣在地上，在圣经里面，神也告诉我们很多他遵行他话语的重要。
But Jesus himself has emphasized the importance of obedience when he walked the earth.
那我们如果要在圣经里面找相关的经文的话，可以说是数不胜数。
If we were to look for such a passage, I mean, we will never exhaust them.
那我只选了两节经文啊。
I only chose two.
第一节经文是我们主耶稣在登山宝训结束的时候所讲。
First one is, it comes from the Sermon on the Mount by the words of Jesus.
那在马太福音七章二十四到二十七节。
That is in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27.
那主是这么讲说，所以凡听见我这话就去行的，好比一个聪明人，把房子盖在磐石上，雨淋、水冲、风吹，撞着那房子，房子总不倒塌，因为根基立在磐石上。凡听见我这话不去行的，好比一个无知的人，把房子盖在沙土上，雨淋、水冲、风吹，撞着那房子，房子就倒塌了，并且倒塌得很大。
Jesus said, after everything else he said, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock.But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash.
这里面提到两种人，一个是聪明人，一个是无知的人。
He brings up two types of people. Here, one is wise, one is foolish.
那聪明的人也好，无知的人也好，他们都同样听见了神的话。
Wise or foolish, they both heard the words of God.
那他们的区别是一个只听没有去做。
The distinction between them is one of them only heard but didn't do anything.
就是是耶稣口中所说的无知的人。
That is what the Lord Jesus described as a fool.
那另外一种呢是听了这话还去行的。
The other kind is people who hear the word and do them.
这就是主口中所说的聪明人。
This is whatJesus coins the wise.
那遵行神的话不仅讲到说是一个聪明或者是无知这个衡量的标准。
The measurement of a fool or a wise man when they hear the word of God.
更让我们看见，但是更让我们看见这个分别是造成他们不同迥然不同的结局。
And also this distinction shows their different results. Where they
讲到他们将来到神面前不同的光景。
It also speaks of their condition when they meet God face to face.
所以是否遵行神的话非常非常的重要。
Therefore, obeying God's words is very important.
像弟兄讲说不仅影响我们今天我们生活的品质。
Like he said, it does not only affect the quality of our today.
更影响我们永世在神面前的结局。
But more important, but also the eternal destination of where we are.
第二处经文我选的是雅各书一章二十二节。
The second phrase comes from James chapter 1 verse 22.
为什么不出来呢？只是你们要行道，不要单单听道，自己欺哄自己。
He says there, do not merely listen to the words, so deceive yourself.
那雅各这里面特别提醒我们，我们如果只停留在听道不去行道的这个层次上
，James warned us about the danger of being content, complacent with being listening to the word but not doing it.
其实我们是在自己欺骗自己。
It means that we are lying to ourselves.
那我选的这两节经文，其实我们都很熟悉，甚至我们都会背。
These two phrases are very familiar to us. We probably can memorize them.
道理我们也不是不知道。
We understand also the doctrine.
但是最大的问题就是，一旦我们回到实际生活当中的时候，我们就发现说，我们就是软弱，我们就是力不能胜的。
The big problem is that when we go home, we can't put it into practice, and we just don't have power to do it.
那到底问题出现在哪里？
So where is the problem originating from?
那我想啊，至少有三方面的原因啊。
The cause, I've summarized three of them.
我需要做什么吗 ？OK， 我们不受这个影响。我想第一方面的原因讲到说我们内心的挣扎。
These three reasons we can't see on the screen, but anyway, first one is the conflict in our hearts.
那上周五我们在这个教会小组查经的时候，分到我们小组有一个姐妹有点交通哈。
So last Friday, a sister has had some discussion for Bible study.
才讲到她，我们其实是我们每个人常常的光景。
She described our condition many times.
她讲说，不是圣灵没有在我们的生活当中提醒我们。
It's not that the Holy Spirit did not remind us in our daily life.
而是我们就是不愿意，就是不肯顺着圣灵的心意去做。
The problem is just we don't want to. We don't want to yield to the Spirit.
说这就是圣经里面所讲的，我们的圣灵和肉体常常是彼此相争。
So this is the, like what the Bible says, right? The will of the flesh and the spirit are always in conflict.
那在这个心思的属灵的征战上，我们常常失败。
In this conflict, we often lose.
我们没有办法像这个圣经上所说的一样哈，我们叫攻克己身，叫身服。
We can't do what the Bible says to just simply take it and obey it and cater to it.
我们常常体贴自己，体贴肉体。
We cater instead to ourselves, our flesh.
所以我们就落在这样的光景里面，就是我知道我应该去怎么做，但是我就是我不想。
So we end up landing in that predicament. We know what we should do, but we don't want to.
说这是第一方面的原因，讲到说我们内心的挣扎，我们内心的征战。
That's the first possible cause of where our problem lies.
那讲到我们第二方面，讲到说我们外面的压力。
Second is the pressure from outside.
外面环境上的压力，这个价值观、世界潮流对我们的影响。
Pressure from the outside environment, conflicts with the world and its values.
我们常常都讲一句话，叫“人在江湖，身不由己”。
We say oftentimes, once you're in the game, you're no longer in control.
即使我们信主以后，这句话也常常成为我们的口头禅。
Even after we are believers, we still say things like this.
因为这个世界对我们的影响，给我们的诱惑，让我们常常没办法抗拒。
Because the temptation, the social situations, workplace pressure, and the trends, they tempt us often.
那内心的挣扎也好，外面的这个压力也好，其实都跟我们第三个，跟我们生命的光景。
No matter if it's internal conflict or external conflict, it has a lot to do with the third reason.
我们常常的光景就是说我们属灵的知识可能不在不不能说不间断，我们属灵的知识在慢慢的增长。
Third possible reason is our spiritual knowledge is growing gradually.
我再试一下。
Growing slowly.
OK, 好。那我们只是在知识上我们有增长，但是属灵的生命上没有改变。
We struggle with the knowledge of God, but we don't exercise the spiritual renewal.
其实不是说属灵的知识不好，属灵的知识没有用。
It's not to say that spiritual knowledge is useless.
其实我们知道恰恰相反，因为其实神的话是我们一切生活和侍奉的根基。
On the contrary, the foundation of our spiritual life comes from the word and truth of God.
圣经没有说我们不需要听到，我们不需要属灵的知识。
Nowhere in the Bible does it say we are not to listen to God's words or gain knowledge.
圣经是提醒我们不能仅仅停留在知识，停留在头脑的层次。
But it does warn us to not stay at that level of knowledge.
这些认识要不停地来更新我们的心思意念。
These things that we learn in knowledge, they are to renew our spiritual life.
需要不停地在实情实践当中，这些知识能够转变成生命。
These head knowledge must become our spiritual life commensurately.
那我想，我们如何能够在这几方面能够有突破，能够突破我们生命当中的瓶颈
？But how do we make that breakthrough from our head to actual action?
那我就想到了今天我选的经文《列王记上》十七章。
I want to leverage.Today's passage, which is 1 Kings chapter 17.
那十七章这一章里面主要记载了两个人物。
First King chapter 17 records for us two people.
一个是以利亚，一个是撒勒法的一个寡妇。
One is Elijah, the other one is a widow from Zarephath.
我之所以提到他们俩，因为尽管我们是在不同的一个世代。
Why do I bring them up, even though we're in a totally different generation?
但我刚刚所提到的，我们所面临的挑战，
But I just said before, our pressure that we get.
以利亚也好，撒勒法的寡妇也好，都有同样的挑战。
These two had the same kind of challenge.
但是他们却可以在这个极难的环境当中，就是在无论是内心的挣扎也好，外面的压力也好，信心软弱的时候也好，他们都选择了信而顺服。
But through events of external pressure or internal conflict or weakness in their faith, they chose right.
因着他们在极困难的环境当中遵行神的话，所以他们就经历了神大大的祝福，经历了神大大的保守供应。
Because they made the right decision of obedience in the face of uncertainty, God richly abundantly blessed them.
他们也因着遵行神的话，对神的认识能够不停地被提升。
And also for their knowledge of God, God lifted them up.
那以利亚更是成为旧约先知的代表。
Elijah then becomes representative of the Old Testament prophets.
当主耶稣在登山变相的时候，以利亚和摩西一同与主一同显现。
You remember that on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Elijah next to Moses with Jesus.
那雅各书里面也特别提到一个以利亚一个特别的地方，就是他与我们有同样的性情。
James puts a commentary about Elijah, and that was to say that Elijah was a human being just as we are.
他是与我们有一样性情的人，换句话说，他与我们是一样的人。
He had our nature, in other words, he's just like us.
他靠着神的恩典和能力所能做的，其实今天我们靠着神的恩典和能力，我们也能做。
Whatever he leaned on God to be able to do or not, we have the same provisions.
关键是我们肯不肯，我们愿不愿意像以利亚一样，在神的话面前能够信而顺服。
The decision comes to whether or not we, well, the difference comes, depends on whether we choose to obey or not.
好，那我们先有一点对列王记上十一章有一点背景哈。
Let's understand a little bit about the context of First Kings.
那当时是以色列国分为南国、北国两个封国的时期哈。
First Kings 17 takes place in a time when Israel was split into the northern and southern kingdom.
犹大，北国是以色列。
Southern kingdom is called Judah. Northern kingdom is called Israel.
那大家可能知道哈，南国犹大还算不错哈，出了一半的好王。
We know that at least in Judah, half of them, the kings there were good kings.
那所谓的好王其实就是带领神的百姓能够真实的敬拜神。
To say someone's a good king is to say that the king led people to worship and acknowledge God.
那很遗憾的是，北国以色列从来没有出过一个好王。
Unfortunately, the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, had not even one single good king.
每一个王都是带着神的百姓来离弃真神，去敬拜偶像，敬拜假神。
All of them not only led the people astray from God, but took them to worship idols.
所以和南国相比，北国很早就被亚述帝国灭。
So the northern kingdom was taken away by Assyrians very early.
那列王记上的时候，当时北国的王叫亚哈。
So the king at the time of chapter 17 of 1 Kings, the northern kingdom was called Ahab.
他在北国这些王中其实可以说非常非常的坏，是数一数二的坏。
He was described as the most, if not, second most, if not the most, the worst king, in Northern Kingdom.
那他的妻子叫耶洗别，是西顿王的女儿。
His wife's name was Jezebel, who was the daughter of a king of Sidon.
那他比亚哈更坏。
She was even worse.
她不但怂恿她丈夫去拜偶像、拜巴利这个假先知。
She not only tempted his husband Ahab to worship idols, false gods.
她自己还供养了400个叫拜亚瑟拉的假先知。
She commissioned hundreds of false prophets for that false god Asherah.
不仅如此哈，她还这个大肆收捕和杀害这耶和华的先知。
Worse, she went around pursuing.Jehovah's prophets to try to kill them.
所以你可想而知当时北国的光景哈。
So you can imagine the state of the northern kingdom of Israel.
亚哈王领头去拜假神。
Ahab led the people to worship idol.
那耶洗别四处杀害耶和华的先知。
Jezebel go each direction to kill the Lord's prophets.
那在十八章里面讲到说那些没有被杀害的耶和华的先知早都躲起来躲到山洞里面。
A chapter later on tells us those prophets that were pursued by Jezebel and her people hid in caves.
那一般的百姓来讲，就是去跟着去拜假神，那个假先知。
And then the normal people just follow the king to worship idols.
那圣经里面描述当时耶和华的坛或者是神的同在，讲到说耶和华的坛早已被毁坏，破败不堪。
We are also told that the altar of God was already destroyed, torn down by that time.
如果我们要形容当时北国的光景，就像我们常常很熟叫白色恐怖或者是黑暗掌权。
You can kind of imagine that the way of there was, I guess, white terror and how darkness is raining there.
神的家好像是极其极其的荒凉。
It is very, very pitiful condition in the northern kingdom.
但是诗篇里面讲说，洪水泛滥之时，耶和华坐着为王，耶和华坐着为王，直到永远。
However, the Bible tells us, the Lord sits enthroned anyway over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever.
我们的神没有睡着，他知道地上一切的事情。
Our God did not fall asleep at the time. He knows exactly what's going on.
所以为此他预备了以利亚。
Therefore, he prepared Elijah.
那以利亚是北国的先知。
Elijah was the prophet of the northern kingdom.
他是圣经里一个非常特别的人物。十七章是他第一次出现。
He's a very unique and special prophet, and this is where he first appears.
他的名字本身的意思就是耶和华是神。
His name means Jehovah is King.
在他所处那个世代，所有的人都去拜假神的情况下
，in the situation where everyone else is worshiping idols，
他这个名字的本身就有强烈的这个神的启示。
So his name alone is a testament against that.
这更是他一生侍奉的中心，告诉当时的以色列百姓讲，只有耶和华才是真神。
That is the focus point of his ministry in the earth anyway. That only Jehovah is King.
所以他的一生可以用波澜壮阔来形容。
So his whole life can be described that way as a prophet.
看他在圣经所做的事情，可以讲说勇敢无惧，直斥罪恶，宣告审判。
You can see that he is bold and fearless and pronounced judgment of God without any compunctions.
那最终是在荣耀当中被神接取了。
And eventually in glory, he was led away by the Lord in a whirlwind.
所以有人形容这个以利亚说像黑暗夜空当中的闪电一样。
So some people said that Elijah was almost like a lightning in the dark.
尽管极其短促，但是极其耀眼。
A very short lightning, but dazzling anyway.
是神在这个最黑暗的时代预备最伟大的先知。
It is the darkest, it is Lord's preparation in the darkest of times.
那今天我要借着列王记上十七章，我们分三段来交通遵行神的话。
I want to use this chapter today to speak of three separate, three main ideas.
那第一段是从第一节到第七节讲到说照神的话去隐藏，在不确定的环境当中能够学习仰望神。
The first one of three is verses 1-7, hiding according to God's word, looking to God in face of uncertainty.
第二段是在8-16节讲到说在极度的匮乏当中信靠神。
Second is from verses 8-16, to go out according to God's words and trusting him in times of scarcity.
那第三段是从17-24节讲到以利亚照神的话祈求在死亡的面前牢牢地抓住神。
And the third one is Elijah praying according to God's word and holding onto him in face of death.
那我们先来看第一段。
Let's look at the first one.
第一节讲到说基列寄居的提斯比人以利亚对亚哈说，我指着所侍奉永生耶和华以色列的神起誓，这几年我若不祷告必不降露也不下雨。
Verse 1 says, Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab,As the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word.
这里的以利亚好像突然从地上冒出来一样。
It seems that Elijah just suddenly came out of nowhere.
圣经对他的家谱啊也好，对他的来历啊，可以讲说几乎没有任何的这个描述，没有记载。
There's almost no mention of his genealogy or lineage or anything about his family.
那基列是位于约旦河东岸群山之间一个高地。
Gilead is the high point between the east side of the Jordan River.
那提斯比其实今天我们已经没有办法再考证它具体的位置在哪里。
Tishbe, however, we can't confirm exactly where it is today.
那我们对以利亚的背景知之甚少。
We know very little about Elijah himself.
但是我们却可以知道一件事情，其实是神在预备他。
We know, but we know one thing that God, which is God prepared him.
让他在时候满足的时候能够出来替神说话。
To let him, when the time was right, to come out and speak for him.
那以利亚的出场非常非常的不一样。
Elijah's coming onto the scene is very different.
那今天我们常常有一句话叫出道即先，即巅峰，大家有没有听过这句话？就讲到是一个人一出现就达到最高点。
Today we have a phrase that says, I guess, going viral immediately after revealing yourself, something like that.
但是以利亚其实不敢讲到说是巅峰，因为他后面神大大的使用他，至少他的出场即宣告。
Oh, we can't say Elijah had his 15 minutes of fame here because his influence extends.
他的宣告是说，我指着所侍奉永生耶和华以色列的神起誓，这几年我若不祷告，必不降露，不下雨。
Look at what he says in the quotes. As the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.
这个宣告是极其的明确，而且是极其的大胆。
This is a very powerful and clear declaration.
很明显不是从人来的，因为人没有这个能力。
This is not from man because man cannot say such things.
那这也不是以利亚一时的心血来潮，或者是他个人的这个喜好。
Nor was it Elijah's word of choice or something he said out of a whim.
这是他在神面前恒久祷告的结果。
This must have been the result of long prayer between him and God.
我们怎么知道？刚刚我们读的那个雅各书五章十七节告诉我们。
How do you know that? We get that from James 5:17.
也不仅告诉我们说以利亚是与我们有一样性情的人，而且讲到说他恳切的祷告，求不要下雨。
Not only did it say that Elijah was a human being, even as we are, it said that he prayed earnestly.
可以讲说这个不下雨或这个旱灾是神对以色列百姓悖逆的审判和管教。
You can consider this declaration and what happens a form of punishment from God for their disobedience.
目的是让以色列百姓能够知道谁才是真神。
For the purpose of letting Israel know who is the one true God.
那当以利亚的祷告蒙神的垂听，神回应他的时候，他就不畏生死的来到亚哈王的面前。
So after he has prayed to God and learned what he had to say, he came out bravely to speak it.
那他的宣告可以讲说是掷地有声，带着属天的权柄和能力。
His declaration is powerful and comes with the authority and power of heaven.
我们再看第二节到第四节。
Let's look at verses 2-4.
那以利亚宣告完之后
，After he made his announcement，
耶华的话临到以利亚。
The word of God came to Elijah.
说你离开这里往东去，常在约旦河东边的吉利西边，那吉利西旁，你要喝那溪里的水。我已吩咐乌鸦在那里供养你。
He said, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there."
如果我们细想耶华的话的话，我们会感觉是这个命令不大合理。
If we think carefully about God's command here, it's a little unreasonable.
因为神没有在这个时候差派以利亚到以色列各地去宣告神的审判，显明神的作为。
Because at that point, God did not take Elijah all over the land of Israel to proclaim the same thing he said to Ahab.
神的命令反倒是要他离开，要他藏起来。
Instead, God told him to hide and leave.
去一个很偏远的叫吉利西的这个西边隐居，是住在那里。
To go to a place that is very discreet and remote and to live there.
那吉利西这个地方，现在我们也没办法考证这具体在什么地方。
So the place Kereth, we have no way of knowing exactly where it was either.
但我们应该感觉说这是一个比较隔离、比较隐蔽的地方，所以神才能够让他去藏在那里。
But it must be a spacious but secluded place.
我们常常想，这不是一个大好的时机，我们借此能够把神的审判、神的作为能够显明出来。
We might think to ourselves as we read this, isn't this the perfect opportunity for God's words and power and all that to express? God instead let Elijah go hide.
不仅让以利亚藏起来，而且讲说我已吩咐乌鸦在那里供养你。
Not only that, he said he will instruct the ravens to supply him.
我们都知道乌鸦是一个食杂食食肉的动物。
We know that ravens are carnivores.
它不抢别人的吃的就不错了，它怎么可能还去供养以利亚？
It's good enough. It's amazing enough that the raven don't eat the meat for itself. But how's he going to supply Elijah?
动物学家说，乌鸦根本就不会与其他的乌鸦或者是其他的鸟类分享食物。
So the biologist will say the ravens don't really share or gather or hang out with other birds.
还有一点就是乌鸦在以色列的律法当中被定义成不洁净，是可憎的这个动物。
Furthermore, the raven is considered an unclean animal.
一个不洁净的这个乌鸦碰到的食物也是不洁净。
The food an unclean animal touches also becomes unclean.
神的先知以利亚怎么可以去吃这样的食物呢？
How can God's messenger eat such things?
要换成彼得的话，一定说神啊，这是万万不可，我从小都不吃这些不洁净的东西。
He would have had the, if it was Peter, he would have definitely said, you know, Lord, certainly not.
所以你要细想神的话，它有很多不合常理的地方。
So if you think about God's command, it's very confusing and unreasonable.
但是以利亚是如何回应的呢？
But how did Elijah respond?
圣经里面讲说，于是以利亚照着耶和华的话去住在约旦河东的基利西边，乌鸦早晚给他叼饼和肉来，他也喝那溪里的水。
It says there, so Elijah did what the Lord had told him. He went to the ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and evening. He drank from the brook.
以利亚乖乖的就照神的话就去了。
He simply obeyed God's words and went.
没有任何的抱怨，没有任何的争辩，甚至没有问为什么。
No complaints, no argument, not even asking why.
他就是无条件的顺服。
So he submitted and obeyed without any condition.
那其实这也是神对我们常常的要求，就是简单的顺服。
Now this is, as a reminder, is also God's expectation for us, is to simply do.
神要我们一步一步的来跟随他，神不是把他所有的计划呀都跟我们解释的清楚。
God does not give us, he wants us to simply obey, does not give us every single detail and upcoming steps.
神需要我们学习在神的话语面前完全的信靠。
God needs us to learn how to obey and trust in his word.
那以利亚照着神的话去做了。
So Elijah did as God said.
结果就是神奇妙的供应。
As a result,It's an abundant supply.
这里面讲说乌鸦早晚叼饼和肉。
It says, right, the ravens came in the morning and night.
尽管照着本性，这不是乌鸦所能做到的。
By nature, this is not something that ravens would ever do.
所以让我们看见，其实乌鸦也是伏在神大能的手下。
We see here that raven is under the power of God.
我有时感觉这些乌鸦也太不容易了。
Sometimes I feel these ravens, they have a hard life.
到了嘴边的饼和肉，但就是不能吃。
They have what they want, but they can't eat it.
那有人讲说基利西是以利亚的内室，或者是他与神亲近神的地方。
It has been said by some people that Kereth is Elijah's like seminary.
神要借着基利西这个地方，能够让以利亚学习如何能够与神独处。
To let Elijah learn there how to live quietly before God.
让他能够有机会能够安静在神的面前，能够学习仰望神的功课。
And also a chance to meditate and how to learn God's lessons.
那第二点，我们看见说乌鸦是这个叼着饼，是叫什么？早晚给他送来。
And secondly, we see that the raven brings him bread and both in the morning and evening.
让我们看见，其实以利亚不仅是在天天都要仰望神的恩典和怜悯，是其实是顿顿都要仰望这个神的供应。
So we see that Elijah is not only depending on God.Every day, but every moment, every day.
可能吃了早上这一顿，他不知道晚上乌鸦会不会还那么听话。
After the breakfast, he might not know if the raven will still obey in the evening.
但是感谢神，这就是神奇妙的作为。
But we thank God for His marvelous work.
那神在这里特别的预备训练以利亚，是为了将来他能够承受更大的工作。
God prepared Elijah in this way daily to prepare him to do greater things.
神这样的做法其实不意外啊。
What God did here is not unique.
圣经里面有好多的人物，像摩西、大卫、保罗，甚至我们的主耶稣，都有这段隐藏的日子。
These hidden years, this happened to other people too, like Moses, like Paul.
这段隐藏的日子不是在神面前浪费。
These hidden years are not wasted.
而是神要装备我们，预备我们。
And these are the years where God prepares and equips us.
那我们现在来看第七节哈，说过了些日子，溪水就干了，因为雨没有下在地上。
When we come to verse 7, let's take a look. It says, sometimes later the brook dried up because there's been no rain in the land.
那没有雨，溪水当然就干了。
Well, if there's no rain, of course the ravine dries up.
但我们稍微有点常识的话，就会知道溪水不会立刻就干，因为它会渐渐的干了。
We know that the water supply will not dry up instantly. It's a gradual, it slows to a drip.
那大家想一想，以利亚现在在哪儿？
Can you imagine where, can you think where Elijah was this whole time?
或者我直接问一下，他有没有离开基利西？
Did he leave Kereth?
你知道这个，他是靠这个溪水啊，是他的饮用水。
We know that this stream, this ravine was his only source of water.
那现在水源断绝了。
But now the water supply is gone.
想一想，如果我们是以利亚的话，我们会怎么办？
If it was you, what would you do?
我们可能很早就跟在神面前迫切的祷告，我们坐立不安的。
We would have prayed to God a long time ago, and we're full of anxiety.
甚至我们可能就自作主张就离开基利西，找有水的地方。
Or we would have taken it up upon yourselves to leave. We'd be long gone.
但是你看见这里以利亚没有离开。
But we see here that Elijah did not leave.
他是什么时候离开的呢？
When did he eventually leave?
是等耶和华的话再次临到他，让他离开的时候，他才离开。
It's when the Lord told him to leave.
神没有吩咐他离开，他就继续留在基利西。
Without a word from God, he stayed. He kept doing what God told him to do.
即使是溪水干了，即使是他的饮用水断绝了。
Despite his lifeline and the brook drying up completely.
所以这段经文让我们看见，就是在这样不确定、天天都顿顿都仰望神的怜悯的状况底下，以利亚学习遵行神的话。
This verse teaches us in daily provisions by the Lord, even in the face of uncertainty. Afterwards, he obeyed.
好，我们来看第二段哈，讲到说在匮乏当中，我们如何来信靠神。
Let's look at the second point, and that's how to trust God in times of scarcity.
那第八节第九节讲到说，耶和华的话临到他说，你起身往西顿的撒勒法去，住在那里，我已吩咐那里的一个寡妇供养你。
Starting in verse 8, the Lord gave him another command. It says, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food.
神当然知道他仆人的需要。
Lord, God of course knows his servant's needs.
所以神的话再次临到以利亚。
So his words reach Elijah's ears again.
那大家知道西顿的撒勒法是哪儿吗？
Do you know where Zarephath of Sidon is?
那这其实他是讲到一个充斥偶像崇拜的外邦之地。
We need to know that it is a place, it's a pagan place that worships idols.
那里的人有一个特点，就是世世代代都敬拜巴利的假神。
They had a characteristic, which was they worshipped Baal. They worshipped Baal.
所以你想一想啊，就在这个以色列变国都离弃真神去拜假神的时候，神却差派这个以利亚去外邦的一个拜偶像的地方。
So it's very surprising that in a pagan land where they worship false gods, actual God sent him there.
让我们很难理解、很难接受的命令。
And in a way.With a command that's very easy, very hard to understand and accept.
还有一个特别的地方就是撒拉法，其实西顿是这个王后耶洗别的家乡。
And also Zarephath is the hometown of Jezebel.
可以说是那是一个非常对以神的先知来讲是一个非常非常危险的地方。
You can consider that place to be very dangerous for the true prophets of God.
那神不仅让以利亚去撒拉法。
Not only did God ask Elijah to go to Zarephath,
那神还说我要吩咐一个寡妇在那里供养你。
He also said he's going to get a widow to supply him.
大家知道在圣经里面的寡妇其实是指说最需要别人帮助的弱者。
We know that widows mentioned in the Bible are the most needy from other people to help them.
但是神却吩咐一个寡妇来供养这个以利亚。
But God instead did it the other way around for a widow to take care of Elijah.
不仅如此，就是在以色列地，其实应该也有许多许多的寡妇，对不对？
Not only that, in the land of Israel, there's a lot of widows there too, right?
但是神却差遣以利亚去一个外邦人、外邦的寡妇那里去，让这个寡妇来供养。
But God sent Elijah instead to a pagan widow.
其实这也是让我们看见说，尽管不合理，但却是神一个精心的安排。
But we see here, even though it's illogical, incredible, it's still an arrangement.
神就是要在一个充满偶像崇拜的地方，在仇敌的地方，给以利亚提供丰富的供应。
God was to supply Elijah fully in enemy territory.
神之所以要这样做，就可以挑战当时的人，当地的人，那些所信奉巴利的，告诉他们说，只有耶和华才是真神。
He did this to challenge the Baal worshippers at the time and the pagans that only Jehovah is God.
神之所以没有用以色列中的寡妇，而选了一个外邦人的寡妇，表明说神的恩典不仅限于以色列百姓，更限于外邦人，更会临到外邦人。
The fact that God chose a pagan widow to go tells us also that God is not only the savior of His people, but also other pagan people.
神更是要借着这个撒拉法的寡妇能够向他施恩，显明神百姓以色列百姓悖逆神的结果。
Also, it's a statement to the Israelites when God supplies a pagan widow.
因为他们的悖逆就堵住了神祝福他们的管道。
Because of Israel's disobedience, they clogged up the channel of God's blessing.
今天我们读了圣经的前后文，我们常常站在上帝的视角来解释这些。
When we read the context of everything here, we stand from the perspective of God to explain these things.
以利亚是根本不知道这些背景，不知道前因，也不知道将来要发生什么。
Elijah has no idea what will come afterwards or what came before.
但是以利亚最宝贵的地方就是神怎么吩咐他，他就怎么去做。
But the most precious thing to get is that Elijah did exactly what God said to do.
神让他尝，他就尝；神让他去，他就去。
God let him hide, I'll hide. Go, I'll go.
将要遇到什么样的事情，神自然为他负责。
Whatever happens, God will take responsibility for it.
那十到十二节讲到说，以利亚就往撒拉法去了。
So when we come to verse 10 to 12, Elijah went to Zarephath.
那我就不念经文了。长话短说，到了这个城门的时候，就遇见了那个寡妇。
So I won't read the verse. You know, you can see the verse for yourself. But when he reached the city gates, he ran into the widow.
那接下来，以利亚和寡妇有一段对话。
They had a dialogue.
那先是以利亚对这个寡妇要求你用器皿取点水来给我喝。
Elijah first asked the widow to give me some something to drink.
那妇人很 nice 啊，那是其实水源应该已经非常有限，所以还是把取水给她喝了。
The widow is very nice. It's very, the water supply is very, very feudal, but she gave him something anyway.
没想到以利亚还有更高的要求，还讲到说你还要给我拿点饼来吃。
But she didn't expect him to also ask, hey, give me some bread to eat too.
那这一点就让这个寡妇落在一个非常大的这个挣扎的里面。
This request put the widow in a very difficult position.
那因为她的光景其实让我们看见说她自顾不暇。
Because her condition was that she could barely make it herself.
她后面讲是说我起誓啊，她说我的这个坛里只有一把面，瓶里只有一点油。
She swore, I only have a handful of flour and a little olive oil in the jar.
我本来的计划就是找点根柴，然后和我和我儿子做饼吃了以后，我们就等死。
My intention was to, you know, take a few sticks and light it up and eat a little bit with my son so that we can together die.
那如果你是你俩的话，你对面对这样的情况，你会怎么想
？If you were there, how would you
如果你是当时的寡妇，你会怎么想
？If you were the widow, what would you do?
因为我们实在相信这里面讲说，神不仅吩咐这个以利亚去撒勒法，去这个让这个寡妇来供养他。
Not only did God ask Elijah to go to Zarephath to let the widow take care of him.
神一定是同样也向这个寡妇显现，向这个寡妇说话。
God must have also appeared to the widowed and talked to her.
否则不可能这么巧，在城门那个地方，人来人往那么多的地方，两个人就从未谋面的人能够彼此有这样的对话。
Otherwise, how could two strangers who have never seen each other, heard of each other, meet in a busy intersection? And talk to each other.
所以这一切都是神在背后奇妙的安排。
So we know that this is a special arrangement of God.
如果我是那个寡妇，我肯定会想说，神找别人吗？我现在这个光景，你又不是不知道。
If I was a widow, I would say, reply to God, please find someone else, God. You're very aware of my situation.
我自己都不知道说明天会不会活着，我怎么会供养你的仆人呢？
I don't even know if I'll survive until tomorrow. How can I supply anyone else?
那如果我们换成以利亚呢？
From Elijah's perspective,
我们肯定会在神面前质问神。
We're probably going to question him.
这就是你为我所吩咐的那个寡妇吗？
This is the widow you prepare for me?
她自己这个样子还能来供养我吗？
Look at the way she is. How can she take care of me?
在任何一个环境当中，如果把我们摆在当中，我们有一千个、一万个理由跟神说 no。
Any of us in any situation of our life, we would have a million excuses and questions.
看以利亚是如何反应。
Let's see how Elijah responded.
那以利亚没有就停在那里哈。
Elijah didn't give up or stop there.
以利亚跟这个寡妇讲说，不要惧怕。
He said to her, "Don't be afraid."
那可以照你说的去做。
He said, "Go home and do as you said."
那寡妇刚刚所说的什么？吃完就等死，对不对？
What does she say? I'm going to eat and die with my son.
她说可以照着你说的去做。
Go ahead and do that.
但是呢，你还是要先为我做个饼。
He said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me.
然后才是你和你的儿子。
And then from what you have, and then make something for yourself and your son.
今天我们很少能够想到说那个荒凉的日子是一个饼啊，是多么的宝贵。
We can't imagine and emphasize was how.Precious a one piece of bread is in a time of famine.
有句俗语叫“荒年饼子赛黄金”，不知道大家有没有听过
？So there's a saying that says, in a famine, bread is worth more than gold.
就是在饥荒之年，给金子你都不要，你就要那块饼。
In a time like that, you'd rather have a piece of bread than a lot of gold.
那这就是当时的那个状况。
That was the state of things.
你想一想，当这个寡妇面对以利亚这样的要求的时候，她会怎么想？
Can you imagine what the widow's response or inclination was when she heard this from Elijah?
如果是她自己的话，她可能有商量的余地。
If she was just by herself, there might be room for wiggle room.
圣经里面讲说，她的儿子就在她的旁边。
Wiggle room for a discussion, but her son was next to her.
对一个寡妇来讲，儿子就是她的一切。
For a widow, the son is her everything.
平时可能她就尽量自己少吃不吃，都要可着她儿子吃。
Usually, she might not eat or eat very little and give the best to her son.
可能讲说她的儿子是她全部的指望。
Maybe her son, you can say her son must be her only hope.
但是面对以利亚这样的要求，就是最后这点指望，神好像也要把它拿走。
But even this little hope that was left, it seemed that God wanted to remove it.
那我们常常会想说，以利亚为什么有这样的要求？是不是太过分了？
We might think that Elijah has gone.You've gone too far. What a ridiculous request.
那我们再从上帝的视角想一想，说为什么以利亚会有这样的要求
？Let's consider why Elijah asked for such a thing.
因为以利亚这样是可以操练这样寡妇的信心。
This is a way to exercise the widow's faith.
而可以让这个寡妇和以利亚一起能够有机会经历神的供应。
And also for them together to experience God's provisions.
其实以利亚对寡妇这个要求，就是常常神对我们的要求。
Actually, Elijah's request of the widow is not unlike God's request of us.
以利亚要求这个寡妇先为我做，其实就是要将神的要求放在第一位。
Elijah asking the widow to do for him is a lot like God asking us to put him first.
因为以利亚是一个认识神的人，他知道神赐福的次序。
Because God, Elijah knows God. He knows the sequence by which God.Blesses his people.
像我们今天所说的主题一样，让神在凡事上居首位。
Like our topic, right? We magnify the Lord, put him first.
主耶稣也常讲说，要先求神的国和神的义，你们所需要的一切必加给你。
Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you."
那神没有以利亚没有只停留在提要求的上面。
Elijah did not stop at his request.
他后面把神那个最宝贵的应许告诉给这个寡妇。
He gave her a precious promise.
就说因为以色列的神如此说坛内的面必不减少瓶里的油必不短缺直到耶和华施雨降在地上的日子
He says in verse 14 For this is what the Lord God of Israel says The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land
这同样又是一个非常非常明确的宣告
This again is a very absolute announcement
这里面有两个必字
There are two wills in this phrase.
必不减少，必不短缺。
Will not be used up. Will not run dry.
显明以利亚对神话的信心呢。
This expresses the faith that Elijah had in God.
那他不仅把这个神对他所说的话能够重复给寡妇。
Not only did he repeat or relay what God said to him, to the widow.
也让这个寡妇能够因着经历这样的话，跟神有同样对神的话有同样的信心。
He wanted the widow to have the same faith.
那我们在过去这个周五的时候，刚刚查完《使徒行传》，讲到保罗在去罗马的路上遇到船难。
We had talked about past weeks the journey of Paul and the ship in Acts 27.
同样，在这个极其危险的环境里面，保罗可以对船上的人讲说。我信我的神，他怎样说，事情就怎样成就。
Just like what Paul said on the boat when he was the only believer on the only man of God on there, right? On the boat.
保罗认识神，所以他对神的信实就有把握，有确据。
He said, "I will trust, have faith in God that it will happen just as He told him in His faith."
同样，以利亚认识神，他对神的话也有这样的把握和确据。
And also because Elijah knows God, he had the same level of faith.
我们看看这个寡妇是如何反应的。
Let's see the response of the widow.
妇人就照以利亚的话去行。
She went away and did as Elijah had told her.
妇人不再挣扎。
So the widow did not struggle anymore.
她凭着信心顺服了以利亚的话，不再犹豫，也不再勉强。
So by the faith, the widow obeyed Elijah's words. She didn't resist or hesitate.
其实这种顺服不仅是对以利亚这位神的仆人的顺服。
This act of obedience is not only to Elijah,
更是对以利亚所说的神的话的顺服
but also obedience and faith in the word that God spoke through Elijah.
那顺服的结果呢
What is the result of that obedience?
后面就讲说他和以利亚吃了许多的日子，坛内的面果不减少，瓶里的油也不短缺。
We find that it says, so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family.
正如耶和华借以利亚所说的话。
For the jar of flour not used up, jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of God spoken by Elijah.
神丰富的供应证明了神的信实，证明了神话语的绝对。
God's provision proved his own faithfulness and his promise.
在神的话语里面永远没有可能没有什么差不多哈。
In God's words, there is never a maybe or a probably.
好，那我们借着第二段，我们看一下恩典和信心的关系。
Let's look at this, and let's talk about the relevance of obedience.
这一段经文可以让我们看见说，神在最不可能的环境当中，通过最不可能的方式，成就了最不可能的奇迹。
We see that God used the most difficult condition.To do the most unlikely thing.
这个寡妇因着她把神的需要摆在第一位，相信神的应许，她就能够经历神不间断的供应。
Because of the widow's obedience to God, she experienced the unceasing blessing of God Himself.
这是我们常常听见的一句话。
We hear this phrase sometimes.
他讲说神把恩典借着信心赐给我们。
That God gave us grace through our faith.
但是我们需要用信心去支取神的恩典。
But we have to draw God's blessing by our faith.
很多的时候我们没有办法经历神的恩典，是因为我们没有用信心去支取去得着。
Many times we can't gain the blessing of God because we have not exercised our faith.
那我们快一点哈，我们看到最后一段讲到说照神的话在死亡面前抓住神的应许。
Let's speed things up and let's look at our third point, which is holding on to God in the face of death.
第三段讲到说寡妇的儿子突然生病死了。
It says later on in 17 to 24 that the widow's son died.
可以想象来讲，对一个寡妇来讲，失去她的儿子是一个何等大的打击。
You can imagine what a shock this would be for a widow who lost her son.
这一段经文让我们看见寡妇开始责怪以利亚。
We see here that the widow started complaining to Elijah.
说你如果不来到这里的话，神根本就不会想起我的罪来。
She said that if you didn't come here, God may have not remembered my sin.
我今天之所以遇到这样的事情，就是因为你来到我这里。
This happened to me because you came here.
表明说，他对这个神的认识还是停留在常常我们所以为的因果的报应上。
It helps to see that her level of understanding of God is still more like an action-reaction, tit-for-tat kind of thing.
以为我们的神非常的挑剔，只要我们做错一点点，神马上就来惩罚我们。
As if God is petty, as as soon as we sin, he comes and stirs up.
那这一段也让我们看见，其实这个妇人呢，她所抱怨的不只是以利亚，她其实是在抱怨神。
We see here she's also not just whining at Elijah, but also really whining at God.
因为她没有机会来到神的面前直接来抱怨神。
Because she had no chance to go to God to complain to Him.
所以她就将她的不满啊、愤怒啊，这个转到神的所。神的代表以利亚的身上。
So she unloaded all her dissatisfaction at Elijah.
这些我们今天常常的光景。
This is what we are like often today.
想一想，我们其实抱怨环境，抱怨我们周围的弟兄姊妹，我们就是在抱怨神。
Think about it. When we complain about our church, our brothers and sisters, our condition, we're complaining to God.
像我刚刚讲的，他一切的这些抱怨都源于他对神认识的有限和错误。
Like I said, her complaints are originated from a misunderstanding of who God is.
那这面对这个妇人的抱怨呢，以利亚的反应是什么呢
？What was Elijah's response to her complaints?
那以利亚当然没有因为寡妇的抱怨，他就拒绝她的要求。
He did not shun her after her complaints.
他是立刻的行动，他说：“把你的儿子给我。
”He immediately said, "Give me your take me to your give me your son."
他很同情这个寡妇的遭遇。
He showed empathy for a widow.
如果我们看这个以利亚跟神的祷告
if we read the prayer of Elijah to God,
好像让我们看见，其实以利亚也有一点点困惑，他不知道神为什么这样做。
We realize that Elijah had hesitation and confusion too. He wasn't sure why God did what he did.
他说：“我寄居在这寡妇的家里，你已经降祸于他吗？使他的儿子死吗
？”He said, "Did you?" Bring tragedy even on this widow that I'm staying with by causing her son to die.
难怪圣经里面讲说以利亚是与我们有一样性情的人。
No wonder the Bible says Elijah is just someone like us.
我们也常常在难处当中质问说神为什么发生这样的事情？为什么是我
？We in seasons of difficulty also complain the same way. Why me? Why this?
但是以利亚没有停留在这个疑惑当中，或者是软弱当中。
Elijah did not stop, however, in this state of weakness.
他把这个难题带到神的面前。
He brought the situation to God.
他三次这个在神面前祷告。
Three times he prayed to God.
那我们上个周主日学刚刚讲到说三在圣经当中特别的意义。
Adult Sunday class last week we emphasized the importance of three in the Bible.
保罗曾经三次祷告，主耶稣在克西马尼园也三次祷告。
Paul prayed for three times for the thorn to be taken away. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane three times.
所谓三次祷告，其实就是讲到完全持续不放弃。
To say three times is an attitude of not giving up.
因为他相信他的神会有能力改变这样的环境。
Because he trusts that God can change.
那我们也知道说，以利亚的求不是靠着己意在求。
Change the situation. We know that God did not, I mean, Elijah did not ask on a whim.
因为圣经里面讲说，我们若在他里面，他的话藏在我们里面，凡我们所愿意的祈求，就给我们得着。
He did it by the promise and words of God, because the Bible tells us, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
那22-23节让我们看见以利亚祷告的结果。
Verse 23 and 23, 22 and 23 shows as a result of Elijah's cry.
以利亚这个不放弃的祷告促成了圣经当中第一次死人复活的神迹发生。
These prayers of Elijah was the reason for the first resurrection from the dead in the Bible.
让我们看见神允许这样悲剧的发生，其实是为了在巴利这个外邦拜假神这个地方彰显耶和华是掌管生命和复活大能的那一位。
We see that by Elijah's prayer, God had a chance to testify His great power in a pagan land where Baal is worshipped.
在这个过程当中，一宿虽然有哭泣，但是早晨必要欢呼。
In this time, even though there is weeping at night, the rejoicing comes in the morning.
那妇人的儿子复活了。
The son of the widow came back to life.
那妇人也有一个宣告。
She also had a declaration after that happened.
他说：“现在我知道你是神人，耶和华借你口所说的话都是真的。”
Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of God, word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth.
因着他儿子复活这样的神迹，他这样的经历，他对神的认识得到了极大的提升。
By the miracle of her son's resurrection, her faith was greatly lifted.
他不仅仅从只经历神的供应，他更是认识到神的信实和神旨意的良善。
From going from merely experiencing God's provision to truly knowing God's goodness and faithfulness.
整个过程其实都是在操练他的信心，让他能够学习完全依靠神。
The whole process was for her to exercise her faith and allowing her to learn to completely rely on God.
这里面让我们看见一个非常鲜明的对比。
It said here we see a very clear contrast.
如果我们看列王记上十六章。
If we go back a chapter in 1 Kings chapter 16.
给我们看见说神的话出来。
When we see whenever the word of the Lord,
但是人选择悖逆不听。
The word of the Lord comes, but people decide to not listen.
后果就是面临神的审判和不断的死亡。
The result was like endless death and punishment.
圣经里面十六章里面讲到巴撒死了，以拉死了，辛利死了，暗利死了，王一个一个接着死。
In the chapters, all these kings, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Omri, they all died.
但是到了第十七章，一个完全鲜明的对比。
But our chapter that we just read, there is a great contrast.
同样是神的话出来。
Same in the same way the word of God came.
但是因着人的顺服，可以不停的蒙受祝福，不停的领受神不间断的供应。
But by His people's obedience, blessing, came.
所以让我们看见说，我们在神面前，我们的心态非常非常的重要。
So we can see that before God, our attitude is very important.
那回到我们今天的主题哈，讲到说遵行神话语的关键。
Back to our main topic today is to hold on to.
我想有几点可能对我们来讲会有一点点帮助。
This I think will help us a bit.
第一个就是在任何的环境当中，我们都要相信我们的神他是美善，他的旨意也是美善。
First, that is that no matter what is going on, we have to trust that His will is good.
只有这个样子我们才肯服下来。
Only when we realize that are we able to submit.
第二点是承认我们自己的不能。
Second is to admit our inability.
因为靠着我们自己这个人，我们没有办法遵行神的话。
Because leaning on our own understanding and power, we have no way to obey God's word.
但是第三点是我们告诉我们说我们要依靠圣灵的大能。
Third is to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit.
因为主说，你若能信，在信的人凡事都能。
Because God says everything is possible for one who believes.
腓立比书也告诉我们说，靠着那加给我们力量的，我们凡事都能做。
Philippians also says, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength.
那求神帮助我们。
May God help us.
我们有点祷告。
Let's pray.
主耶稣，我们是在感谢你。
Lord Jesus, we give you thanks.
人的话是何等的有限和不完全。
Man's words are very limited and incomplete.
我们把这点点话再次放在你的手中。
We put this chapter and these words into your hands.
你若看为可用，就求圣灵在上面继续来使用。
If you can use it, may you use your spirit to help us.
每一个你的儿女，我们不仅成为一个能明白你话语的人。
May all your children not become just people who know your word.
我们更愿意成为一个遵行你话语的人。
But be so desire to be doers of the word. We give you thanks and praise.
祷告是奉耶稣基督的名。
We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.